Well, hey, everybody, come on in. Time for church. It's good to have you tonight. I think I see some kids outside. If you're a parent and you're missing one of your children, please go grab them. Grab them and bring them in and get ready for worship to start in just a moment. It's good to have you. It's a beautiful day outside, but I'm glad we're here inside for church tonight. Having said that, by the way, next Wednesday, weather permitting, it's supposed to be hot next week, by the way. How many saw it's supposed to be like raging hot this weekend and next week? But anyhow, next Wednesday, weather permitting, service will be a little bit shorter on Wednesday. Then we're going to throw the fire pit outside and have some hot dogs and s'mores at the end of service next Wednesday. So just so you know that, a little hangout time after church next week. But along with that, don't forget, June the 30th, we have our One Big Family Sunday. We also have baby dedications that day. So if you have a baby or a young one that's never been dedicated in the church unto the Lord, there's a sign-up sheet at the back for that. And then Sunday, July the 7th, we have our next water baptism Sunday. So again, if you're saved, you've given your life to Jesus, but you've never been water baptized with the commandment of the Lord, which is the outward expression of what God has done in your life, please sign up to do that. And we'll celebrate baptism that day. And there was another announcement. Oh, yeah, VBS. Don't forget, that's coming up real quick. So VBS is June 23rd, 24th, and 25th, 6-8 p.m. On those nights, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. And if you volunteered to bring some things in for donation for the VBS, those things have to be in like right now. So Sunday, please bring those things in. And I don't see Amanda tonight, but those go to Amanda when you get them here. All right? So everybody stand up on your feet. And here's my heart. My heart is that we are a worshiping people. That we have an expression that's an overflow of thanksgiving because of the goodness of God in our life. Now, how many know that God is good? Who knows that? And how many of you could tell a story or two or more of the goodness of God in your life? Well, one of the reasons we worship in song, we do it in unity together, is because, well, we're letting God know a response to his goodness, and a praise is a celebration of him and a worship of him. And our worship, it's really a drawing of our hearts near to him. One of the most amazing things we find, it was very symbolic, that when Jesus died on the cross, the curtain that separated the outside world from the Holy of Holies was ripped right in two, saying that it's no longer just the high priest that gets to go into the presence of God to do the work for the people, but we can draw near to him in boldness. Book of Hebrews says that, boldness. And draw near to him in worship, because he is a God who desires his presence to meet our presence. So I'm here tonight. It's Wednesday night. I had an okay day at work today. You know what I was doing today? I was writing a small group curriculum on the fivefold ministry gifts. That's what I spent most of my day doing. It is not thrilling at all, I promise you. A lot of reading the Bible and putting stuff together. But in the midst of just a kind of a mundane day of just digging in and writing, and I had a big dry erase board where I was sketching some things out, I thought, but you know, I'm going to go to church in a while, and I'm just going to worship. And I could have did it where I was, but I was looking forward to doing it with you and spending time together in unity of expression of the goodness of God and how God, I believe, is going to be right here with us. He's here now, but he inhabits the praises of his people. He will be right here with us. Listen, if we will turn our attention to him right now, that he responds to us. Amen? So let's do that tonight.
See my victory when all I see. Jesus, there's nothing impossible. you slay everyone left in the grave, all the wars you've won on my behalf. And I'll tell these stories to my kids, they may see your faithfulness. May they not forget the goodness of God. I can't believe how good the Lord is.
All right, good deal. give everybody a chance to get their kids checked in to kids' church and youth hangout tonight. And that just leaves us. Amen. By the way, live streamers, wherever you're watching at, it's good to have you on this Wednesday night. Well, let's take up our giving. I know people are still getting their kids checked in, but let's take up our giving. So if you have something tonight, the offering envelopes are in the chairs in front of you. As always, if you don't see one there, if you wave your hand around, one of the ushers will help you out. And our giving is an important part. You know, some people don't like to say this, but it is an important part of things that we do here, just because of not only your involvement in it, but you know, I said somebody was, I don't know who it was recently, was asking me about giving. I said, well, yes, we believe in the tithe and we believe in offerings. It's not as if you don't give, you're in sin. That's not true. But yet, if you draw from the resources of the church, you should participate in the functioning of the church. And just be honest, right? And what causes the church to function, in part, is our giving. And so those of you that are believing in the church and you're drawing from the church, then when we take up our giving, as the Lord instructs your heart in your tithe and your offering and so forth, that you participate in that way. And there is a reciprocal kind of a reaping of your giving, if you want to call it sowing, and that there's just an ongoing circle of your participation, the response of the feeding and equipping of your life, the fellowship and the things that happen in the church. So our giving is important for the life cycle of the church. And if we didn't give, we'd still have church, but it'd be a whole lot different. Doesn't mean it wouldn't be good, but it'd just be a lot different. Amen? And even things like VBS coming up and extra things that we do only happen because I tell you what, if the finances of our church weren't stable, we wouldn't be doing VBS. You know what I'm saying? Things happen because our finances are stable, and not just stable, but we're a giving church. And the fact that you're a giving church allow us to do more things that we believe in wisdom and good stewardship are of the kingdom. And promote and grow the kingdom, or help grow the kingdom. Not that we do it, but we participate with what the Spirit is doing. Amen? So I'm going to pray over it. So if you have something, bring it to the baskets. Lord, I thank you to be here and on this Wednesday night to worship you and spend time with you in your presence and the fellowship of the saints, the believers, Lord, as we give tonight. We believe that everything that always comes into the church is doing something to help you in what this church is called to do and why we're purposed to be here. And everything that happens is connected in a lot of different ways, and our finances play a part. And we thank you for what you are doing among us. And we do it, and we say that for your glory. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen. Amen. So if you have something, you can bring it. I think Justice sent a text. I was thinking before when I was up there earlier, what was I missing? Justice reminded me. Jeffrey Wright, if you didn't catch us on Sunday, he passed away recently. His memorial service is June the 30th. So we'll have church that morning. It's a Sunday. We'll have church. And then from 12 to 1 will be an opportunity to visit with Katie and family. And then at 1 p.m. we'll have a memorial service for Jeffrey. So obviously, in the church, you were invited to be here for that. And obviously, keep Katie in prayer during this time. And obviously, these things are not easy. And all of that goes with this. And we'll just believe that God will comfort her. And you realize that grieving is good. It's part of our natural processes of working out the loss we have. And loss comes in a lot of different ways. It's not just the loss of a person, a loved one. It could be a loss of a job. It could be a loss of a dream. It could be a loss of a house. Grieving can show up in a lot of different ways. We're built to respond. But These are places that God, if we allow him to, will show himself faithful in those things too. And when Jesus in the Beatitudes, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. That is a big picture way of seeing the losses of the world in response to that. But yet, it boils down to, in the loss of a loved one, we understand in the scheme of what God is doing, death is not right. Death is a result of sin. Therefore, death isn't right. But yet, it's a natural part of a lost and dying world where sin has propagated itself. Mourning is, in one way, not just grieving over the loss of a loved one. Mourning is also saying, this isn't right. And it's in these moments that we grieve because of the lostness of result of sin that God is able to bring a certain comfort, not just a comfort in our moments of grief, but a comfort in knowing that that which isn't right is going to be made right. There's a big picture working of the comfort in our mourning that points us to our eternity. Amen? So anyways, get your Bibles out. I don't know why I was tangenting on that. We'll get back to the task at hand. Ecclesiastes, why don't you find that book in your Bible? Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And I think for the next, 4 or 5 Wednesdays. So next week, like I said, next Wednesday, we're going to have hot dogs and s'mores outside after service is done. By the way, in July, I think it's right when this series is done, the following week, I think it's July 17th or something like that, we're actually going to tell you to bring a lawn chair to church because we're going to have service in our front yard. I'm going to go outside and do some acoustic worship. I'm going to share a short message, and we'll break out the s'mores and hot dogs again. So that's like the middle of July. So we'll tell you more about that. That'll be fun, do something a little different. The kids will be there with us, and we'll just sit outside and have an outdoor service. Sound good?
Yeah.
Sound like a plan? But before we do that, I want to do this series with you called Taming Your Time. And I talked about this a little bit, kind of an intro here. When Margo and I were doing the Love Your Marriage at the different campuses, after the whole night was over, then there would be time to talk and to minister to couples that would come forward for that. There was one of the campuses that we had a line of couples. And what's really interesting, every single couple that came up to talk to us came with the same thing. We are absolutely overwhelmed with busyness of life. And all of them had younger kids. And we struggle navigating time. We struggle navigating time with our kids. We struggle finding rest. We struggle doing the things that are the most important, so much so that we know that we're agitated with each other and we're snappy at our kids, and all because of not being able to manage time properly with the important things of life. In other words, life is just so bound up with a lot of stuff, it just seems like you're always moving, always doing something, and there's never a break. So I ended up, and because of that conversation, I actually ended up making a small group curriculum called Taming Your Time. They're actually using it at the Botkins campus right now on Wednesdays. But I thought, well, instead of throwing it out as a small group, I'll just do a Wednesday series on it with you. So the thing about this series, though, each week goes together. So if you miss a Wednesday in the middle of the series, it's going to kind of mess it up a little bit. You're going to have to watch it and recatch the live stream. Okay, so anybody that missed tonight, I'm actually going to have to start off next week with a little bit of recap to catch them up, because next week won't make no sense unless you got tonight. Okay? And every Wednesday over this time, we're going to close out service with a little activity of you writing some things down. Okay? Because taming your time, in other words, bringing stewardship to your time, is important, but it takes some thought, especially in the midst of an extremely busy and fast-paced world. We live in a very busy world. very fast-paced world. And I want to talk to you about managing your time. I want to talk to you about having stewardship of your time. See, everybody gets the exact same seconds and minutes and hours every day and every week. You know that? Now, we all live actually physical lives differently. It's not like we all die at the exact same second and day of our life. Not like everybody lives till they're 85 years old and 3 days and 45 seconds, you know, and then we all die. It's not like that. But yet, as we live life, we all have the same time to work with, right? And we've got to learn that God has given us this time. And just like everything else in our life that we're given, we have to be good stewards of it. If you have money, right? I mean, you got money. You may have what you consider a little money, or you may feel like you have a lot of money. Regardless, you're supposed to be a good steward of what you have. In every aspect of your life you can think about that you've been given, we have to be good stewards of it. And to be a good steward of your time is simply to say, I want to be careful and responsible with my time. Now, listen, we can waste our time. We can fill our time with a lot of stuff that's not necessary. It's sort of some things we'll talk about. But the fact of the matter is that we must be people that are careful and responsible with the time that we have. So again, I hear people, they're too busy, they're over busy. Because of it, they're anxious, they're stressed. Let me just tell you something. Over busyness is not good for your soul. You are not made to be over busy. I can just make one quick statement to show that is there's a reason why God made the Sabbath, to teach you that. And we'll talk about rest in two Wednesdays. You are not made to be over busy. As a matter of fact, God says you must learn to rest. And in the law, he made them do it. Made them do it. Over busyness is not good for your soul. That's why you must learn to have stewardship of the time that you have. So Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. For there is a season and a time for every matter, every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and time for peace. So Solomon, in his wisdom, he's writing these things. Now, there's certain things that he's writing there that we would contend with the scriptures a little bit. But the point that he gets to first is that he thinks then everything's meaningless. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. All meaningless. Well, he course corrects and pretty much says, okay, if you commit everything over to the Lord, it's not meaningless. But he goes through a process in his writing here to get to that place. But the point is, there is a time for everything, and you can fill your time with anything. But since we've been given time, then I think we need to pay attention to what we do with it. Now, in other words, the time that God gives us, do we honor God with our time? And that's the thing. So it's kind of, you could break down the different aspects of your life. So for me, I can always speak for me. So if I break down the aspects of my life, am I honoring God with my money? Am I honoring God with my time? Am I honoring God in how I am a husband? Am I honoring God in how I am a father? Am I honoring God in even the hobbies that I have? In all the areas of my life, do I live it in such a way that I honor him? And again, thinking about time that way is that we can honor God with our time, or we can do things with our time that's really not in wisdom. That is why Proverbs 2:6 is a scripture that you need to pray over your life daily. Proverbs 2:6, for the Lord gives wisdom, and from his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. I want to live every day of my life in the wisdom and the counsel of God. So I have a daily prayer, Lord, and I don't say it like this, but in a lot of different ways, I say, I'm going to live life today. I'm going to do a lot of stuff today. I'm even make some decisions today. I'm going to be about whatever I'm going to do today. I want to do it in your wisdom. No matter what I do, I want it to be in the counsel of God. So I pray that we have to approach anything that has to do with stewardship. What we're doing is invoking the wisdom of God in what we do. So does God care about how I manage my time? Well, yes. To the extent of responsibilities, life, and spiritual growth, and rest, and health, then yes. Okay? So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to tell you how this is going to break down. I want to talk to you tonight about the main responsibilities of your life. We're going to start there. Next Wednesday, we're going to touch on trying to figure out the things you need to cut out of your life or cut back in your life. This is where over-busyness happens. Then, and I think some people would say this is part of your responsibilities. It is, but I'm going to do a Wednesday talking about the rhythm of spiritual habits in your life and the rhythm of rest in your life. And I think a lot of us try to have a rhythm of spiritual habits, health for your spiritual growth. We're kind of sketchy at it. A lot of us do not have a rhythm of rest in our life. We need to have it. We'll talk about that. And then I want to talk to you about what it means to enjoy the different seasons of your life, the time that you have. Then we're going to close out with talking about how to actually evaluate this stuff. And it kind of all goes together. So every week we're going to be writing some things down to kind of get a big picture by the last week. So Matthew 25, let's all go there. Matthew 25 and verse 14. It's the parable of the talents. And I know we talked about these things before, but let me reemphasize this tonight. Now, if you're sitting here, you're going, I'm not feeling like I'm over busy. That's okay. These things are good reminders to you, again, about aspects of your life that are important, that you're paying attention to these things. Matthew 25 and verse 14. For it would be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 more talents. So also he that had 2 talents made 2 more, but he who had received 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now, we could read down through the rest of the parable. I'm not going to do that. As we know, the master comes back, and he calls into account what he's given each one. And the one that had 5 and 2 did good. The one that had 1 did not. And the one that had 1 didn't do anything with it. It was taken from him and gave to the one that had the most. In other words, each person, this is you, you've been entrusted with things by God that you must do something with. Okay? There's nobody that's not been entrusted with levels of responsibility in your life. And by the way, these things change, can change through your life, but they're things that stay constant too. These are the things that there is accountability for. Okay? These are things that there's accountability for. Now, I want to make a distinction. This is important when you're understanding busyness of life. You can write down, part of the activity tonight will be to write down all of the responsibilities that you carry in your life. you're going to find that there are things that you consider a responsibility that are accountable unto God, and you're going to find there's things that you're responsible for that you put in your hands. See what I'm getting at? So, things that I, again, I'll just talk to me, things that I am accountable and responsible for before God, right here, A1. My wife. I will be accountable before God in how I was as a husband. This is a responsibility in my life. Okay? My kids. Even though we're empty nesters, I'm still a father. I'm responsible. A different way than I was when they were in the house or even babies and the toddlers, teenagers, it changed, but yet I'm still responsible. My job, I'm paid to do something. There's a responsibility in how I do everything as unto the Lord. That's before the Lord, okay? These are responsibilities that I will be accountable for. I've realized a calling in my life. It actually coincides with my job, my vocation. That doesn't work the same for everybody, but for me it does. I'll be responsible for what I've done with my calling, whether I paid attention to it, put my hand to it, okay? So, but yet, here's an example of a responsibility that I was responsible for, but I put it in my own hand. So when my first son, kid that was playing rec soccer was Ryan, but then Gavin came to play, and he wasn't old enough to play, but they needed a coach for Ryan's team. And they said, we'll let Gavin play on Ryan's team, he's not old enough, if you'll coach the team. So I was like, sure. And that started a string of 20 years of recreational, then high school coaching that I did yearly in some two seasons. Now, the Lord didn't tell me to do that. I'm not going to be judged before the Lord for whether or not I did that. Now, if I did it haphazardly, that's not good, but there's no real accountability there. I put that in my hand. I didn't pray and fast about it. Lord, do you want? Yeah, sure, I'll do it. But you know something about coaching? It takes time and a lot of it. Right? So you have to begin to differentiate. This is what I'm responsible for. This needs my attention, and there should be nothing that takes my attention and my focus away from these things. Even other responsibilities that you put in your hand that are, there's nothing. Was there anything wrong with coaching? No. Was it sinful? No. But it was something that should never take away from these things. You see what I'm getting at? And we're not even getting into hobbies, recreational things. So as you guys know, I'm a hiker. I'm a bow hunter. I've been bow hunting ever since Ryan was a baby. But what she'll tell you is that when my kids were little, I hunted now and then. My kids became teenagers and could help take care of themselves and drive themselves around, I hunted more. Now that all my kids are out of the house, she allows me to hunt a lot more. But see, that time taker in my life should never take away and cause neglect for my responsibilities. You see? See, we can fill our life with so many things and say, I'm over busy. When rubber meets the road, really, what are you accountable to? And you've got to start there. Because if you can identify what you're accountable before the Lord for, it then allows you to do what we talk about next week. Well, what can be cut out and it's okay? Because, listen to me, I can't cut my wife out. I don't want to spend time with you anymore. But please make me dinner. You know, I can't do that, you know? I can't ignore my kids. You know what I mean? I can't ignore my job. I can't say, hey, I'll just show up when I want to, but please still pay me. I can't ignore my church. Can you imagine if I'm just like, hey, I'll just show up every now and then. I'm still your pastor, though. Where's he at now? Who knows where he's at? He's just not here. That's all we know. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? I can't. Where was I? Well, I just decided to just, I don't know, go out to the Rockies and hike for a month and tell nobody where I was. That's not responsible. You know what I mean? It's not responsible. So when rubber meets the road, there are things that I can cut out in order to be the best in responsibility that I can be. If I had five talents that I was given, that I'm responsible with five talents. If I was given two, that I'm responsible with two. If I just had one, I'm responsible with that one. And I can't let any other busyness of my life take away from that. And when I'm actually being responsible here, then I can add other things. You see what I'm getting at? Sometimes we do so much with everything else that we're least responsible with what we should be responsible for. And of course, that's without even talking about this thing. Yeah. And the time you can sit here, get caught just looking at reels for an hour. Before you know it, oh my goodness. My wife was sitting right there next to me for a whole hour and I just looked at my phone. Right? It's kind of like this. This in itself is not sinful. It can be sinful. This in itself is not wrong to have, but it can cause me to neglect people around me if I'm too much wrapped up in it. Hunting is not sinful. It's not wrong, but it could cause me to neglect my family. Coaching wasn't wrong. It wasn't sinful, but it could cause me to neglect my family, where I'm really responsible. And this is where you have to start being honest with yourself about what am I doing with my time. If you, over the next week, here's homework. At the end of the day, think about, what did I do with my day today? So you're going to write a responsibility list, as much as you can think of. And this will change and morph as you think about it. Then you take that list with you, and at the end of the day, look at it and go, how much time did I actually pay attention to these things? And what did I really spend my time on? See what I'm getting at? And when these two, we were saying this Sunday, it's in a whole different way. Whatever your intention is, but your actual life action, let's get them together. Watching a football game, nothing wrong with that. I watched a lot of football. I love football. I grew up playing sports. But if it's to neglect of my family, it's not good. Well, you can think of a lot of different things there. Things are in their proper place, A, when you're not neglecting, and B, when you're not saying, I'm just over busy and I don't know what to do. And that doesn't even throw in church, attending church, and how you volunteer in church. That's not even talking about, as we're going to talk in a couple weeks, what's your rhythm of your time of word and worship? That's not even talking about your rhythm of rest, how often you get in time to rest. See, when you actually start putting the important things in place, you may have to cut some things out or learn how to cut some things back and learn how to be disciplined with your time. It could be, maybe you just sit around and binge Netflix all the time. Nothing inherently wrong with that unless it's taking you away from what's important in your life, what you're responsible, accountable for. You see what I'm getting at? So this is what we want to get at over the next few weeks. I want you to be able to say, these are the things that are the priorities of my life. And these are the things that I'm responsible to have my hand in and have positive influence into. And I think we did a series about this not long ago where sometimes you got the right list, but things are in the wrong order. Again, it takes wisdom. My call to pastor is not before my wife. It's not before my kids either. See, I'm getting at it. But even what you know you're accountable for, there's still a priority list. So if you're married, your spouse is your number one priority. And they will let you know if you're not spending enough time with them. or if you're not caring for them properly. Right? If you got kids, they're the second thing. And if you neglect time with your kids, that will show up in all the worst ways. Your kids can be a handful when you're doing everything good. When you're not, then imagine, right? You know what I'm saying? So even there is a list, a way of ordering things that is proper. So again, it's how you spend your time, where your focus is, your attention, your energy. And by the way, there's a lot of tools. And this, for some of you, you may need to get some help. What I mean by that, maybe a planner. There's just, you know how much tools there are? There's your phone. One of the good things, there's planners in these things. What do I mean by that? Well, it's kind of like, maybe you know, if you're married, that your spouse is your priority. But when was the last time you guys had a date night? Well, somebody watched your kids, or maybe if you're empty nest, but you just went out together. And you weren't talking about finances or talking about a problem. You just went to spend good time, fun time. Oh, my gosh, I don't know. Well, maybe you need to get a planner and put it on the calendar once every other month that you go out and do something. Help yourself with where you feel you're falling short in doing certain things you know are healthy. Or if you got kids, when was the last time you took one of your kids on just a time alone with them? Now, if you got 8 or 9 like some of y'all, that would be hard. I understand that. But alone time, if it's not something you naturally do, plan it. That's why calendars and stuff can be very beneficial to this stuff. Right? My assistant, she keeps my meeting calendar, which is constantly busy. Right? Thank goodness for her, or else I would miss half my meetings, you know? But scheduling things that you know are important. When we talk about your time in worship and prayer and the Bible in a couple weeks, if you feel you miss it, you may have to schedule it to make it happen. If you don't feel like you're getting enough rest, you may have to schedule it to make it happen. You don't see what I'm getting at? You've got to discipline yourself for the healthy aspects of your life because, again, your time can get out of control. It can simply just run you over, all right? So here's how we want to start tonight. Al's got little note cards. If everybody would get a note card. We're right at 8 o'clock, so we're going to close with this. If you didn't bring something to write with, also ask. I think they can scrounge up some pens and stuff somewhere. If you have something you can write in besides the note card, go ahead. But what I want you to do is wherever you write this, bring this back with you next Wednesday. All right, bring this back next Wednesday. And this may not be hard because it may not be a lot of things. This could be actually a pretty simple exercise. But what I want you to do is, I want you to write down the things that you consider the responsibilities that you have in your life that you're accountable to God for. Okay? So again, I was responsible for coaching, but that wouldn't have made this list. All right? When if the Lord was returned, he would go, what have you done with these things? Okay? Write those things down. Now, over the week till next Wednesday, you may think of a couple more things. You may think, you know what, I put that on the list. That one doesn't count. You just scratch it off. But the things that if the Lord returned and you had the 5 talents, what would those things be that you're going to be accountable for before him? All right? Again, an example is your spouse, your kids, your job. I don't know. Whatever you involve yourself in life. If you know you have a certain specific purpose or calling, I don't know. But you just take a moment, write these things down, and then I'll pray and we'll close up, and then bring this list back next week, and then we'll talk about things to cut out and curb in your life to begin to get some stewardship on your time. tracking it all? Does that make sense? By the way, as you're writing, just think about this. There is always one more good thing to do in life. You know that? The Bible says, wherever the reference is, that Jesus saw the crowds in front of him. There was one time that Jesus saw the crowds. And what did he do? He went and prayed. He didn't go to the crowd. Listen to me, there was a lot of people that needed him right there, but he understood the need to manage your time and to find rest in prayer, which he did at that moment. And I'm sure he came back to the crowd, but right then he went, okay. Now, I said something about this Sunday. It's kind of like this. In theory, it would sound great that we should have church Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, and Sunday night. That sounds great in theory. Why wouldn't we want to come together and worship and be in the Bible and bring people in? That's a bad idea. It may sound good for a couple weeks of revival, but burn you all out, you get sick of hearing me, preaching way beyond you care anymore. In other words, there's a lot of stuff you can do that sound great, but wisdom is the key. You see what I'm getting at? If you're doing 10 things, and they're all good things, but you're too busy, guess what? There's a couple good things that need to come off your list in wisdom for the sake of your soul. See what I'm getting at? This is where stewardship comes in. So take that responsibility list with you. Think about it. But if you remember to, tomorrow, Thursday, before you go to pull that list out and say, how much time did I spend on this stuff? And think about where you really did spend your time. And do that for a couple days. It'll start to kind of give you a look at what you're actually doing with yourself. Okay? Sound good? And next week we'll pick this back up. All right, Lord, we thank you. We'll come together. Lord, we love you. We know that you love us. We thank you for that. And I pray, Lord, you just teach us things like this in wisdom. So our not just our physical health is good, but Lord, our emotional health, our mental health, even our spiritual health, Lord, is strong. And Lord, so many times these things get out of whack because of a lack of time stewardship. So I pray that you give us wisdom, help us in this. And we thank you, Lord, that you are going to be with us and guide us in these things. In Jesus' name, everybody says, amen, amen. Amen. One more thing real fast. If any of you have like 10 minutes, Jonathan is in a school class, and every now and then he has to do a presentation in front of some people where they record him for a class requirement. If he needs like 8 people that can listen to him give a presentation for 5 minutes, and they'll do this like right away. So if you can help Jonathan out with that, he's right back there in the white shirt, and he'll get you going. I appreciate that. Other than that, we'll see you Sunday morning. Be blessed as you go. Have a wonderful rest of the week.